I'm going to ask you please tonight to turn to Paul's masterpiece, the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans. It's the first chapter of this great letter, and we're breaking into the chapter at verse number 8, Romans chapter 1, reading from the 8th verse right through to verse number 19. Let's follow along together. Let's think about what we're reading. Let's have no distractions as we read the precious Word of God together at Romans chapter 1 and commencing at the 8th verse. Listen to these words of the Apostle Paul, a man writing to this church under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 1 verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am both a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. And we'll end the reading publicly of God's precious word at verse 19. And we know God will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. A very familiar verse of scripture tonight that I want you to consider for a few moments as we meet together around our open Bibles. It's verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Let's unite our hearts together briefly and pray that the Spirit of God will apply this verse to every heart. And in so doing, the Lord will be glorified and our lives might be blessed as we meet together around His Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee tonight for the open Bible. We thank Thee, Lord, for this blessed book of Romans. We thank Thee, Lord, for this great verse in the opening chapter. We pray tonight, O God, that Thou wilt enable us to rightly divide the word of truth. I pray, O God, that you will hide me behind the cross. I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will be uplifted, magnified and exalted. I pray that the Holy Spirit will apply the truth of the gospel to every life, bringing renewed assurance to the lives of God's people, bringing restoration perhaps to those who have fallen by the wayside. And I ask, O God, most of all, that it would please Thee, O God, to draw precious souls to the Saviour's feet, and to give the gifts of faith and repentance. Hide me behind the cross. Glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Build Thy church. Extend Thy kingdom. And may the Word of God have free course and be glorified. So, Lord, to that end, I pray for the infilling of the Spirit of God. May my life be hidden tonight behind the cross, and may the Son of God be exalted far above all, for it's in His name and for Thy glory that we pray. Amen. There are many, many things that people in this world of ours tonight are proud of, and many things that people glory in. Things that oftentimes in their place are entirely legitimate. So many have returned from the Olympic Games and have shown forth their gold and silver and bronze medals, and they're filled with pride of their attainments. Others are proud of their academic qualifications. Others are proud of the homes that they have built and the houses that they live in. Others glory in the fact that they have done well economically or within their business. Some are proud or glory in their position in society. Others rejoice in their family and their loved ones around their feet. Some of these things are legitimate and right in their place. But the Apostle Paul chose to glory in the cross. In Galatians chapter 6 he says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Paul could have rejoiced, boasted, been proud of, or gloried in many things, but Paul chose to glory in the cross. And then there are things that others are ashamed of. Some people in their world tonight are ashamed of their past. Others are ashamed maybe of some habit that they have developed and they try to hide from the world. Some are ashamed of their failure. Some are ashamed of words that they have spoken in the heat of the moment. Others are ashamed of actions that they have committed. Some are ashamed perhaps of the homes and the families that they have been born into. The Apostle Paul was ashamed of his sin. He described himself as being the chief of sinners. And Paul spoke at great length in the book of Philippians in chapter 3 about the things that he once rejoiced in, the things that he once gloried in. And he says, "Those things now, as far as I am concerned, I count them but dung that I might win Christ. Things that I once lived for now appear in the light of eternity and in the light of God's word and in light of the cross. They are so worthless. Things that I gave my life to, and I'm so ashamed that I lived that way." And then there are things that others are, in a sense, trying to hide. But Paul wanted the gospel to shine forth. D.L. Moody told a story about a young man that was recently converted. He was giving his testimony in an open-air meeting on a street corner. And some of his old friends and family walked past and they were ashamed of him. And they said to him, "You should be ashamed of yourself." And he says, "That is right." And he says, "I am ashamed of myself. But I'm certainly not ashamed of my Savior." And the Apostle Paul could have gloried in many things, but he gloried in the cross. There were many things that Paul was ashamed of, but he certainly was not ashamed of the gospel. And he gives it as his testimony in 2 Timothy 1:12, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day, and I am not ashamed of my Savior." Here in Romans 1:16 he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And let's be honest, beloved, tonight it seems that in the professing church of Jesus Christ, there are many that say they are Christians, and yet, if they are honest, they are in a sense ashamed of the gospel. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, because in the gospel and through the gospel and because of the gospel, Paul had found life. Paul had found forgiveness. Paul had found peace with God. Paul had found salvation. Paul had found assurance. Paul had found contentment. He had found hope. He had found meaning. He had found purpose. He had found his destiny. And as we consider this great verse of Scripture tonight, Paul's testimony, I am not ashamed of the gospel, I want to give you five very simple reasons why the Apostle Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by default, I want to give you, Christian, five reasons why you should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're not yet a Christian tonight and you've never been converted, I want you to think carefully about these five reasons why nobody should be ashamed of the gospel. First of all, tonight, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of what the gospel is. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of what it is. We might say Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of the very essence of the gospel. Some of the scholars tonight in the meeting, or some of those who have sat in gospel meetings like this one, might be well aware that the word gospel, it simply means good news or glad tidings. That's what the gospel is. And because Paul was convinced and convicted and assured and certain that this gospel that he had was a good gospel, it was good news for a lost world, it was good news for him. It was good news for those that he came into contact with. It is good news for a lost world. Paul concluded, I have got no reason at all to be ashamed of what I am preaching, because what I declare is good. What I declare is right. And what I declare is good news. Some of you will remember the account of the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. That night that our Lord was born in that stable just outside of that inn in the old town of Bethlehem. And the same night in which the Lord was born, the Bible says there were shepherds just outside of the old city. And they were keeping watch over their flocks by night. And suddenly the heavens were filled with the angelic host. And those shepherds were sore afraid. And one of the angels cried out and said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Those men that night, strangers to grace, strangers to God, now confronted with supernatural realities, were filled with fear. And the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. And the word that is translated, good tidings, in our English Bible, is elsewhere translated, gospel. Fear not, for behold, I bring you the gospel. They're synonymous terms. Good tidings and the gospel are one and the same thing. And the gospel was the answer to the fear that gripped the hearts of those poor lost men that dark night so long ago. And maybe if you're honest tonight, you're filled with fear. You're filled with uncertainty. You find yourself living in this world lost and without a shepherd, without a savior. And whenever you are confronted with supernatural and spiritual realities, you find yourself afraid. That's maybe why tonight you never lift your Bible and read it for yourself. That's why you never give due care and attention to eternal things, because they cause you to be afraid. That's why you never really think about your sin. That's why you never really think about your death, or that day whenever you will stand before the great white throne judgment and give an account of your life without God because it causes you to be afraid. But the gospel, the good news of the gospel, is the answer to all your fears. On that dark night, at that dark time, the light of the gospel broke forth into the consciousness of those shepherds on that Judean hillside. And it's my prayer tonight that if you're not yet a Christian, that the light of the glorious gospel will break forth into your life, into your consciousness and into your heart, and you will come to know the Savior. As we think about what the gospel is, the good news, the essence of the gospel, it's important to consider the necessity of the gospel in our world. We live in a world tonight that is filled with bad news, internationally and nationally. We live in a world tonight where we face bad news personally and individually almost every single day. If you open a newspaper or you click on to an app on your phone and you scroll down through the news headlines, the vast majority of it the world would acknowledge is bad news. Why is there so much bad news? Because we live in a world that is lost. We live in a world that is a falling and a fallen prodigal world. A world estranged from God. And whenever we bring it down to a personal level, there is bad news for every single one outside of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. And our sins have separated between us and our God. And the wages of sin is death. Man is on a collision course internationally, universally, and at the same time personally and individually. Man is on a collision course with destiny. Man is on a collision course with God. And if you're not a Christian tonight, there's bad news. Your sin will damn you for all eternity. Your sin will rob you of heaven. Your sin will eternally separate you from God. That is bad news. But there's good news tonight. And this good news is absolutely necessary. We live in a world that desperately needs some good news. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. That you can be saved, forgiven, redeemed, set free, justified, reconciled to God. You can have the peace of God in your heart. You can have access to the throne of grace and prayer. Whenever problems and trials and burdens and difficulties come, as a child of God, you can come before God as your Father and cast all your burdens and all your cares upon Him. And you can have that blessed assurance that someday you will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Do we not need tonight the gospel more than ever? I believe tonight so many Christian people have given up on spreading the gospel because they think that that lost, broken world out there does not want the gospel. And there's a sense, of course, in which that is true. But the gospel tonight in our world is needed as much as ever before. The necessity of the gospel in our world. But Paul, I believe, also gloried not just in the necessity of the gospel in our world, but in the centrality of the gospel in God's Word. Did you ever wonder what the central theme of the Bible is? It's the gospel. The central figure in the Bible is Jesus Christ. And the central message in the Bible is the message of the cross. The cross of Christ is central in history. The cross of Christ is central in the eternal mind of Almighty God. And the cross of Christ is central in the Bible. The Word of God says that whenever Jesus Christ our Lord began His earthly ministry, in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 15, that He began to preach the gospel. The Son of God came into the world as the embodiment of the gospel. And He came to declare the gospel and to preach the gospel and to bring good news to a world that was lost. And every honest and faithful preacher of the Word of God ever since has been a preacher of the gospel. Even the Apostle Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He said, we preach Christ crucified. In fact, he said on another occasion, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The gospel must ever be central to the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ. And if you sit in this meeting tonight, or you join us online from your home or from some other place, I want to tell you tonight that the gospel in your life is absolutely vital, absolutely critical. It's your only hope. Paul gloried in the gospel. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of what the gospel is, the essence of the gospel. Paul knew that as he held forth the message of the gospel that he was presenting to this world of ours, good news. You can be saved, forgiven, and reconciled. And that being the case, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Then secondly, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, not only because of what the gospel is, the essence of the gospel, but Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of whose the gospel is, the epicenter of the gospel. Look at what he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul says, this gospel that I preach is the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 1, he describes it as being the gospel of God. He initially says, right at the commencement of this masterpiece of a letter, that this gospel is God's gospel. And then later on in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 16, Paul describes the gospel as being my gospel. It's God's gospel. It originated in the heart of God. But he says it is also my gospel. It is a gospel that I have received. It is the gospel that I have proved. It is a gospel that I preach, and therefore it is not only a divine gospel, but it is also a very, very personal gospel. But now he describes it as being the gospel of Christ. Now what does Paul mean when he says, this gospel that I'm not ashamed of is the gospel of Christ? I believe he indicates that this is a gospel of the person of Christ. The gospel message is centered in and revolves around a singular person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of men. Paul did not commend himself to his hearers. Paul did not point to the Old Testament prophets as being saviors of men. He did not point to other saints. He did not point to angels. He pointed to the person of Jesus Christ. The word Christ there in our New Testament Bible, that little word Christ is the New Testament counterpart of the Old Testament Hebrew word Messiah. It simply means the anointed one, the appointed one, the one that God has exalted, the one that God has ordained, the one that God has set forth. And so everywhere Paul went, he preached about the person of Jesus Christ, the only man who was born without sin. The only man who lived without sin. The only perfect man who ever lived was the Son of God incarnate. The one who left the splendor of heaven. The one who came into this world. Who was made in the likeness of man. Who became a mediator. Paul is commending to his hearers the person of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure tonight what you think of this church or this denomination. I'm not sure tonight what you think of this preacher or any other preacher. I'm not sure tonight what you think of the evangelical church as a whole. But I am concerned tonight, what do you think of Jesus Christ? That's the critical question. On one occasion, the Lord Jesus brought his disciples to a place called Caesarea Philippi. It was a hub and a hotbed of idolatry and false religion. And standing there with all of those shrines behind them to Diana and to different gods and goddesses, the Lord Jesus Christ in that backdrop asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And that's a question you must answer. On another occasion he said to the Pharisees of his day, "What think ye of Christ?" That's a question tonight that you have to answer. Who was this man that stepped onto the stage of world history some 2,000 years ago? Who is this man that multitudes across our world tonight worship and magnify and exalt in praise and preach and set forth and write about and sing about and testify of? Do you know him tonight? I believe tonight Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because it set forth the person of Christ. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because it also set forth the cross of Christ. What is the gospel? This good news. You ask the average person today, what is the gospel? You might get different types of answers. Paul nails down the gospel message in clear and certain terms in 1 Corinthians 15 as he wrote to that church at Corinth that was made up of all manner of men and women and young people. Some had been saved from idolatry. Some had been saved from drunkenness and homosexuality and fornication and adultery. Some had been saved from covetousness and religiosity and vain pride. And Paul says, "This is the gospel that I declare unto you, the gospel by which you are saved, if you've kept in remembrance what I've said unto you, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And Paul therefore indicates that the central truth of the gospel is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ our Lord. Right at the center of the gospel stands the cross. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. One old preacher said, "Christ died." That's history. Christ died for our sins. That's theology. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's authority. I wonder if you ever believed that. Has that ever resonated within your heart? Has that ever gripped your soul? That the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. Bearing shame, scoffing rude, in my place, condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I believe that's why Paul said it's my gospel. Because my Savior died for my sins upon that cruel cross. Living he loved me. Dying he saved me. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean, if the Son of God was not ashamed to go to a cross, pay the price for my sins. Then why would I ever be ashamed of this good news, of this wonderful gospel? I believe Paul counted this to be a gospel concerning the person of Christ. A gospel concerning the cross of Christ, but also a gospel that concerns the victory of Jesus Christ. I declared unto you the gospel. Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul wasn't presenting his hearers with some dry, dead, mundane, hopeless message that just ends with death. Paul was giving his hearers a message of life, a message of victory, a message of reality, a message of resurrection, a risen, exalted Redeemer who said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." I wonder tonight, are you living in victory? I wonder tonight if you have the life of God in your soul. Have you got spiritual life, abundant life, and eternal life? You know that old hymn that we quoted a few moments ago? It just summarizes so beautifully the gospel message. Living he loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely and fully forever. One day He's coming, O glorious day, a gospel tonight of victory. Why would I be ashamed of a living Savior? Why would I ever be ashamed of one who died for me? One who has risen and ascended and lives and reigns in the power of an endless life. And all things are under His feet. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of what it is, the good news, the essence of the gospel. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of whose it is, the epicenter of the gospel. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of what it does, the effect of the gospel. Look at what he says in our text again. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For, that word means because. For or because it is the power of God unto salvation. The word that is translated power is that Greek word dunamis, from which we get the word dynamic or dynamo or even the word dynamite. The gospel is the dynamite of God tonight. It's powerful. It's explosive in its power. It's dynamic in its power. It's the power of God unto salvation. Paul, when he says it is the power of God, he means to say this gospel tonight is divinely powerful. It has got the ability to do in the lives of people that are lost what religion cannot do, what works cannot do, what human effort or human endeavor cannot do. The gospel alone has got the power to save and deliver and to set man and woman free. It's the power of God unto salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is God's act of rescue. Salvation is God's act of deliverance. This world of ours needs to be saved from something. And if you're not a Christian tonight, you need to be saved from something. From a day of wrath and a day of judgment. You need to be saved from your sins. In Acts chapter 4:12, God's servant Peter, preaching to a large crowd of hearers in the city of Jerusalem, said, "Neither is there salvation in any other." And he was speaking of Jesus Christ. "For there is none other name under heaven given among men," listen to what he says, "whereby we must be saved." Peter says that salvation is absolutely imperative. I'm not sure tonight where all of you might be from, especially those that are joining online. It may be that you attend a church, you have a church affiliation, and salvation is never mentioned. And you've never been told that you need to be saved. If Paul was here tonight, he would tell you, you need to be saved. If Peter was here tonight, he would tell you that you need to be saved. If Jesus Christ, our Lord, tonight was here, he would tell you that you need to be reconciled to God. You need to be saved. And this gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is to be saved from sin's penalty. The penalty of sin is death. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." One old Puritan had a little book entitled "Death in its Threefold State." And he meant by that the death that the Bible speaks about concerning sin is a spiritual death. It is a physical death. It is also an eternal death. The wages of sin is death. If you're not a Christian tonight, you're spiritually dead. That's why you need to be born again. All of us tonight, physically speaking, are dying because of the effects of sin. But those who die in their sins and without Christ will experience what the Bible calls the second death. But those who belong to Christ have been given spiritual life. They have been given eternal life. And one day they will receive a new body. Salvation is salvation from sin's penalty. It is also salvation from sin's pollution. The Bible says we are all as an unclean thing. And listen, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's not even speaking about the sins that we try to hide or the things that we're ashamed of. It's speaking about the things that we're proud of and the things that we might parade before the world and before God. And God says, because of our sins, even our so-called righteousnesses are filthy in His sight. But whenever you're saved, the blood of Jesus Christ washes you, cleanses you from all sin. It's not only salvation from the penalty of sin and the pollution of sin, but also from the very power of sin. Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you. I love the words of Charles Wesley's great hymn. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. You ask tonight, preacher, do you believe that I could ever live the Christian life? Yes, I believe you could live the Christian life. Not because of your ability. Not because of your resolve. Not because of any purpose of heart that you might have. But I believe you can live the Christian life. Because whenever you come to Jesus Christ, and whenever you're born again, He puts His Spirit within you, and He enables you by the power of the truths of the gospel to live a life that you could not otherwise live in the flesh. Paul says, I live this life by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave Himself for me. It is also salvation one day from sin's presence. The Bible says concerning the New Jerusalem, nothing that defileth shall ever enter in. That's why heaven needs to enter into you before you ever enter into heaven. An unconverted man or an unconverted person, if they're absolutely honest, would not really enjoy heaven. You need to have a changed nature. If you're not a Christian tonight, can I tell you that this present world that you are living in now, this is your heaven. This is as good as it's ever going to get for you if you never come to Christ. This is your heaven. Enjoy it while you can, because soon it will come to an end and you'll be separated from God forever. But whenever you come to Christ, you're saved for time and for eternity. Made right for heaven and right for home. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of what it is, its essence. He was not ashamed of the gospel because of whose it is. It's the gospel of Christ, the epicenter of the gospel. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of what it does, the effect of the gospel. Furthermore, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of who it concerns, the extent of the gospel. He says this gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He understood that it doesn't matter who I meet on the road of life, whether they're a Jew or whether they're a Greek or whether, verse number 14, they're a barbarian, they're still able to be saved because of the dynamic of this gospel. It is for the whosoever, the Jew, that speaks of the religionists. The people who are so proud and so religious and so self-righteous and so privileged, they need a Savior. And if the Jewish man or woman believe the gospel, they can be saved. Maybe tonight it's religion and self-righteousness that keeps you back. And then he also says it's also for the Greek. By and large, whenever Paul spoke about the Greek, he was speaking about those outside of the household of the Judaism. And he was speaking about the intellectuals and the philosophers of his day and generation. And he's indicating that they need the gospel just as much as the Jewish people do. The wise of this world, the disputers of this world, the debaters of this world, the cultured Greek people of this world, the popular people of this world, they need the gospel as well. And then in verse 14, he also speaks about the barbarian. And that speaks of the uncultured and the uncivilized and the foreigners and the people of other nations and other languages and other tribes and other cultures. The people to the uttermost ends of the earth, they need the gospel as well. So this gospel is applicable for all, whether you're religious, whether you're irreligious, whether you're living like a barbarian, living like a savage, or whether you're one of the world's crowd and you're so popular and so sophisticated. Paul says it's for everyone that believeth. Everyone. There's the scope of this gospel. It's for you tonight. I want you to understand that. If you were the only person in the world tonight, this gospel is for you. Everyone that believeth. That's the simplicity of the gospel. Paul was not ashamed of this gospel because of its scope, because of its simplicity. Everyone that I meet is a candidate for God's salvation. Everyone that I meet needs to hear the gospel. Everyone that I meet can be saved by the grace of God, applying the word to their hearts and lives. He was not ashamed of the gospel because of who it concerns. And this gospel tonight concerns you. You need the gospel as much as anybody else. Then there's one last thought and we're finished. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel because of what it reveals. The exposure of the gospel. The gospel is a divine revelation. And I think here there are three things Paul says that this gospel exposes, this gospel highlights and reveals. Verse 17, it says that through this gospel, therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The gospel, the cross, it reveals the righteousness of God. The righteousness that God possesses. And the righteousness that God requires. And the righteousness that God provides is all encapsulated in the gospel. God is righteous. He's of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. God requires that we live a righteous life. But we are not able to do that. And yet on the cross, the Son of God not only took our sins, but He had also secured by His perfect life a perfect righteousness that is put on the account of all that believe. And this is all revealed in the gospel. The demands of the law were met upon a cross. And if you come to that cross tonight as a sinner to Jesus Christ, all your sins can be forgiven. And you can be declared righteous in God's sight. Only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. This gospel also reveals the wrath of God as well as His righteousness. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. We never like to think too much about the wrath and the judgment and the justice and the anger of God. But on that cross, the Son of God, who knew no sin, was made sin for us. Paul meant when he said that, the Son of God was made a sin offering. He became the sin bearer. He took our sins and our sorrows and He made them His very own. And according to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. And the cross reveals the righteous anger of a holy God. But this gospel also reveals the matchless grace of God. The book of Romans, maybe more than any other of Paul's letters, magnifies again and again and again the grace of our God. Chapter 3 and verse number 24, justified freely by His grace. Chapter 4 and verse 4, now unto him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. It speaks about grace again and again. Chapter 4 and verse number 16 speaks about grace. Chapter 5 several times speaks about grace. Chapter 6 speaks about grace. Chapter 11 speaks about grace. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is whenever we receive freely that which we could not and did not earn, God's riches at Christ's expense. And this gospel that Paul was not ashamed of is a gospel of grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. The hymn writer said, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. May that grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to Thee." If this gospel was anything other than a gospel of grace, there'd be no hope for any of us. But it's all of grace, for by grace are you saved through faith. D.L. Moody made this statement. He said, "I freely admit that salvation, if it were possible, would be and is worth working for. It is worth a man's going around the world on his hands and knees, climbing mountains, crossing valleys, swimming across rivers and oceans, going through all manner of hardship in order to attain it. But," he said, "we do not get to heaven that way. It is simply to him that believeth." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Wonder tonight, are you ashamed of the gospel? Would you be ashamed tonight in this meeting to wait behind for a few moments and to say to the preacher or somebody else, "I need to get saved. I want to get right with God. I want to confess my sins. I want to call upon the Lord. I want to go out in that world and testify that I'm now a Christian. And I want to live a life of worth and a life of purpose." The Son of God was not ashamed to die on a cross for our sins. Why should I be ashamed of such a blessed gospel? May God write His word upon our hearts tonight, and may you come to know this wonderful Savior. Trust Him tonight. Call upon Him. Repent of your sins and believe the gospel and enter into newness of life.